Hey, good morning to you. How you doing? A very good morning to you, and Happy New Year to you as well, to you and yours, this Monday, January 6th, 2020. Nice to be chatting with you. I'm not back, by the way. I was back yesterday. It's a Sunday View was on yesterday at 11, as I had said it would be before Christmas. Took on the Iran thing. On Sunday View, the UK Sunday newspapers full of stories about Iran and the so-called crisis there. It's on YouTube. If you missed any of it, if you want to pick it up, it's a little bit of a different take, I think, on what's going on in Iran. You won't be surprised that today's newspapers are, today's papers are full again of stories about Iran and hypotheses about what's going to happen in Iran in the coming weeks and months and in the region as well. We'll have a look at some of the front pages in a moment. It'll probably be the last time you hear anybody say Happy New Year, by the way. I don't know what the cutoff day is when you should stop saying it in January, but anyway, here we are face to face. Lovely Christmas break I had, and I'm all the better for it and really looking forward to getting back to normality, I suppose. The radio show will be back today at 5 o'clock, Monday to Thursday at 5, and Sunday View and all the rest of that. So there you are. I'm not drinking alcohol so far this year, by the way, and it's suiting me. So it is. It isn't one of those dry January things. I've never done that. I've never had any time for nonsense, frivolity, crap. Media-driven nonsense. Oh, dry January or Stoptober, although I think Stoptober is for smokers, right? I've never smoked. I've no time for any of that. I just decided over the Christmas period that I no longer wanted to drink alcohol. I'm not an alcoholic. I'm not somebody who has a problem with alcohol, but I do like it a bit too much. And it's easy to like it because it's very cheap. And after a very long and hard day producing, editing, and presenting the Richie Allen radio show, I often took solace in a couple of Bacardis. And I thought that's not good. Particularly because I'm incredibly fit now. I run all the time, all the time. Didn't miss a single day over Christmas. And I just thought I'm going to stop. And I did. And I'm all the better for it. And we'll see how it goes. You know, there might come a time in a month or two, I might be out in a cafe somewhere or in a pub, and I might have a glass of red wine, but that'll be that. My relationship with alcohol has changed. Change has come to the BBG. Anyway, and all that nonsense. Good, it really is good to be back with you. Paul Craig Roberts has written some really interesting things on his website, paulcraigroberts.org, former US Assistant Secretary to the Treasury under Ronald Reagan, that's right, and a lovely guy and an old pal. And Jason Burmes, the filmmaker and journalist. Well, Jason's going to join me tonight to talk about, well, Israel. We're going to talk about Israel on September the 11th and other things, because it's important, because it's in the news right now. So let's get on to that. Hello to Joel. How you doing, Joel? Thank you, Joel. Thank you very much for that Super Chat contribution there. And Happy New Year to you too as well. I've got to stop, got to stop, got to stop with the Happy New Year. Let's start with the Daily Mirror. Attack the White House. It's the headline there. What does it mean? Well, it alleges that the Iranians have put an $80 million bounty on Donald Trump. Allegedly. $80 million, £60 million. This is all, of course, after the death of, the assassination, the murder of the Iranian general Qasem Soleimani, who was blown up while in Baghdad a few days ago. The fallout from that, of course, has dominated the news media over the last few days, hasn't it? And like I said, it's in all the newspapers today. That's the Daily Mirror there. So let's just get rid of it and move on, because, as I said, no point in dwelling on these. They're all the same today. We will kill UK troops, warns Iran. We will kill UK troops, warns Iran. Here's the story inside the paper. Is Iran threatening to kill UK troops? Well, let's have a look. Boris Johnson said that we will not lament the killing of Iran's top general by US forces as a senior commander in Tehran threatened to hit British troops in the Middle East. Johnson was on holidays in the Caribbean. He's back and he's speaking now for the first time. He said that we need de-escalation on all sides. He's had a phone call with Donald Trump, with Emmanuel Macron and Angela Merkel. Our forces. Now, this is the headline alludes to a quote from a senior commander in the Quds Force, which is the Iranian Revolutionary Guards international arm. And the senior commander told The Times that British soldiers could be collateral damage in attacks on the US military. So yet again, you've got the reality of a headline in the British broadsheet media not being supported by the facts. The Iranians have not threatened to fucking kill UK troops whatsoever. The Iranians have said, we might very well attack US troops. We feel we have the justification to do so. And if British forces or troops are, well, they happen to be in that area or standing shoulder to shoulder with US forces, well, they could be injured or killed as well. So they're not saying we will kill UK troops at all. This is a bit of fuckery, of course, by Rupert Murdoch's Times. So that's the story, right? I know that Soleimani's granddaughter has addressed a rally in Tehran either today, it could be today, they're a couple of hours ahead of us, and she's been calling Donald Trump all manner of choice names and threatening retribution on the White House. Soleimani killing. This is interesting. The Observer, which is The Guardian by another name on Sunday, ran a story yesterday. Well, it basically ran a repeat story. It took a story in the New York Times over the weekend that suggests the evidence to support the theory that Soleimani was involved in a number of plots to target UK citizens in the region, excuse me, US citizens in the region, but also to target US interests in the region. This was the justification for the attack on Soleimani, that he's plotting things, he's doing stuff, and it's going to result in the death of US personnel and it's going to harm US interests. So we have to take him out, goddammit. We have to take him out. That story is being sold around the world by Mike Pompeo, the US Secretary of State and former head of the CIA. Talked about this yesterday. Trump is just tweeting out nonsense from the White House, as Trump does. That's his job. That's his part in this theatrical production, to tweet out silly threats about targeting cultural heritage sites in Iran, a war crime, of course. Trump's a puppet. Doesn't mean anything, Donald Trump. He doesn't mean anything. He's not important. He's a front man. He's a puppet. But it's Mike Pompeo doing the rounds of the US media and the UK media yesterday, reiterating how dangerous Soleimani was, how he was meddling in the affairs of the Middle East, how he was meddling in Syria, how he was meddling in Lebanon. I know. Talked about it on Sunday View yesterday. Let's just remind ourselves about Mike Pompeo.
When I was a cadet, what's the cadet motto at West Point? You will not lie, cheat, or steal, or tolerate those who do. I was the CIA director. We lied, we cheated, we stole. It was like, we had entire training courses. It reminds you of the glory of the American experiment.
Mike Pompeo. So you would imagine that it would be incumbent upon any presenter or any reporter, when confronted by Mike Pompeo, to ask him, Mike, why should we believe you? Why should we believe you when you said or say that Qasem Soleimani was involved in imminent plots, plots that were ready to go, oven-ready plots, to kill American people. Why should we believe you, Mike? You're a self-confessed pathological liar. You fucking madman. But of course they don't do that. On Kay Burley at breakfast this morning on Sky News, at BBC Breakfast on the BBC, a number of foreign secretaries of your, and the current foreign secretary, Dominic Raab, rolled out to talk about how we need to have restraint here, but the US was right to do it. Or we understand the US has the right to defend itself. Not a single presenter, not a single reporter saying, but we've been listening to this now for 40 years. If you go back to the time when Donald Rumsfeld was defense secretary for the first time under Gerald Ford, you've been telling us the same bullshit lies. First it was about the Soviet Union. Then it was about Iran after they got rid of the Shah that you imposed on them. Then it was lies about Saddam Hussein using chemical weapons, the ones that you gave him to use on the Iranians in the Iran-Iraq war. He told us all those lies. And 1 million people died at least, and another 3 million at least were displaced. Then you told us all these lies about Muammar Gaddafi in Libya. We know that you told us lies because we have the report of the Foreign Affairs Select Committee here in the UK, which castigated David fucking Cameron and Barack fucking Obama for lying about the reality of the situation in Tripoli and in Libya. You've been lying to us for fucking years. So why should we believe you today? That's all they have to do. One journalist. It takes one. It takes one to say, really? Really? Are you really talking about this man meddling in the affairs of the Middle East? Are you really? After you sacked, wrecked and destroyed Afghanistan, Iraq, Yemen, Libya. Are you out of your fucking mind, Jeremy Hunt? That's what Kay Burley should have said this morning, interviewing the disgusting Jeremy Hunt on Sky News. That fucking filth bag. But no, the ginger ninja just sat there. Yeah, yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. And what should our response be? I didn't mean to scare anybody there with that fucking outburst. I apologise. It drives me mad to have to watch it. It drives me mad to have to fucking sit there and listen to it. And you wonder why the Board of Deputy of British fucking Jews and the Zionist Brigade in this country have declared my show to be off fucking limits. Because my radio show is the only show in the fucking country that is making these points and asking these questions. The only one. These fuckers won't come on with me. Despite the size of my audience. Are you telling me, really? Are you really telling me that there was another bad man killing people and you had to murder him to protect and preserve your interests in the region, and that Iran is a terrible actor in the Middle East and Iran is the axis of evil? Are you really telling us that shit again? Are you? See, if I was Kay Burley, I would say to my production team, lock the fucking doors of the studio. Lock the doors! He's not going anywhere. I'm going to beat him to death with his own fucking shoes, Jeremy Hunt, on live television. Millions of fucking people are going to die this year or the next because nobody is standing up to it. Nobody. Nobody is standing up to it. The genuine independent media is being destroyed from the fucking ground up. And all you'll be left with then is Adam Bolton and Kay Burley and Fiona Bruce and Emma fucking Barnett and Robert Peston listening to the lies and saying, okay, thank you for coming in today. In other news, Beat him to death with his own fucking shoes inside the studio. Do something right for once in your fucking life. Get your producer to hold him down, take his shoes off, and beat him to fucking death with them. Right. By the way, don't do that. You become as bad as that which you fucking behold and that which you despise if you take up arms against them. You're not going to beat them by becoming like them. Violence is wrong, no matter who does it. This is the Metro newspaper today. The Iraqi parliament voted yesterday unanimously to tell the Americans to get the fuck out of our country. Get the fuck out and be gone. But the hairpiece in the White House, the puppet, has been tweeting that if Baghdad, imagine this fucking paradigm we live in. The hairpiece has been telling anybody who listen on Twitter, if you do tell us to leave your country, we will fucking destroy it with sanctions. It's in the Metro. 80 million quid for Trump, huh? The Sun. No tears for a terrorist, according to The Sun, the scum newspaper. We'll just leave that one right there. Warmongering fucking animals, huh? This shit is supposed to be holding them to account. It's supposed to be demanding of them proof. This sack of shit is supposed to be saying to them, what the fuck are you doing? You're driving the world to the brink of a fucking war with a country that has never attacked us, ever. Nor has it attacked our interests. A country which minds its own fucking business. Except for when it doesn't have any choice. What was General Soleimani doing over the last 30 years? I explained this on Sunday View yesterday, rather more eloquently than I am doing it now. He was a massive fucking thorn in their side. And a massive barrier to their plans for the region. He was going around training Syrians and others how to fight this imperialism. That's what he was doing, this guy. As I said yesterday, a response to US, British and Israeli imperialism in the region. A response to it. What the fuck are they going to do, Iran? And their generals, just allow it? Allow Syria to be fucking destroyed by a bunch of lunatic head choppers? Armed, trained and funded by this country, by the US and by fucking Israel. The US is over there, by the way. What are they going to do around nothing? Just fucking sit in their hands? I don't like any of these countries. I don't like any of these fucking governments. Don't give me this whataboutery shit. What about Iran and human rights? Yes! I've talked about it a million times. But it's for the people of Iran to deal with. Let him without sin cast the first fucking stone. You know? Right? Who's ever portrayed Iran as some utopian haven? I never have. You've heard me argue with Kevin Barrett, my great friend and colleague from Wisconsin. I don't believe it's a wonderful fucking place to live. But that's none of my fucking business. None, because I don't live there. If I lived there, I would be standing alongside my gay brethren and sistren, saying, no, you shouldn't be flogged for being gay, nor should you be fucking hung for it. But it's about what goes on in the wider geopolitical picture. Iran, as a country, is no threat to anybody. Never has been. It has been fighting off US imperialism since forever. That's The Sun. Fuck's sake. The Mail. More of the same bullshit. Johnson walks tightrope over Iran. Sure he does. Johnson is just like Donald Trump. He is a useless fucking puppet who never had an original idea of his own. He does what he is told. He says what he is coached to say. That is all. No more. Right? Like Jeremy Corbyn, filing cabinets, rooms full of dirt on Jeremy Corbyn. Boris Johnson, GCHQ, rooms full of it. All right, this is how these people are controlled. Imagine what he got up to at boarding school, Boris Johnson. Are you shitting me? And that's the least of it, right? We will not lament his death, says Boris Johnson, could push us even closer to the brink of a massive conflict in the Middle East that would kill millions. But fuck it. He deserved to die, you know? The guy was a military genius. But there are many more like him. The Daily Telegraph, do not dare to strike at us, Johnson warns Iran, presumably in response to what the military commander in Tehran told the Times, which was fairly moderate. We might have a go at US troops in the region. If yours are anywhere near it, well, they might be hit too. That's a fair fucking warning. That's the sort of thing you thank somebody for. Oh, thanks for telling us then. As long as you stay away from us now. We didn't kill your fucking general. That's how diplomacy should work. We never killed your general, right? We're not happy about it either. Just stay the fuck away from us. Financial Times. Iran rolls back on nuclear deal. Yeah, as Iraqis seek removal of US troops. A lot of that in the news today. The Eye paper. HS2 rail budget out of control. That was all over the news yesterday. Hundreds of millions of pounds over. And a big tax burden, or a burden on the taxpayer, according to the press. And the Star goes with Space Girl aliens are real. This is a British woman who has been in space. In fact, we might, if we get some time, we might have a look at that in a few minutes. Time, because it's made all the papers today. Aliens are real, and they might even be here, says a British astronaut. Do we call them astronauts in this country, do we? Presumably we do, I don't know. That's the Star. Right, what else have we got? That's the story anyway, look. It's in the mail there, look. But aliens. Yeah. Ancient Aliens is good, isn't it? I like Ancient Aliens. This is Dr. Helen Sharman. She went on a mission back in 1991, so she's kept quiet for quite a while, hasn't she? Fucking hell. Cosmonaut. So she went up with the Russians. And she was in space for 8 days. And she says... This is every news station this morning covering this. She told the Observer magazine yesterday, aliens exist, there's no two ways about it. There are so many billions of stars out there in the universe that there must be all sorts of different forms of life. Yawn. Fucking yawn. Right? She highlighted how she is often referred to as the first British woman in space rather than the first Briton, highlighting an assumption that it was a man. Yes, she made it to space before Tim Peake. So there you are. I don't know if aliens exist, she says. Maybe they're totally see-through. So she's kind of talking interdimensional there. Not outer space, interdimensional. That's a theory I've got a bit of time for, to be honest. But anyway, what do I know? That's in the mail. It's everywhere today, that story. It's everywhere. What else have we got for you in the mail today? Pictures of Jeffrey Epstein. Dailymail.co.uk, by the way. Go to dailymail.co.uk if you want to see this. Inside the cell where Jeffrey Epstein killed himself, graphic autopsy photos show his bloody neck, nooses made from bed sheets, prescription pills and electrical cords. Yeah. One of the most high-profile prisoners in the world at the time that he was in that New York jail, that holding facility, on suicide watch. The instructions were to watch him around the clock, and yet he was able to take his fucking time and, elaborately plan and carry out his own suicide. Course. Does anybody care anymore though? I mean, people just, they either believe it or they don't believe it, and if they don't believe it, they just don't give a shit, right? Pretty gruesome picture there. Should I have given a trigger warning? Should I have given a trigger warning? Should I? Are some of you fucking melting down right now? Right? There you are. Several nooses. Several. Yeah. Dr. Michael Baden gets a mention. We talked about him a few weeks ago, didn't we? We heard from him. He wasn't on my show, but we grabbed some audio of him speaking to American television. Baden was hired by Epstein's brother to investigate the death. And Baden believes that the autopsy shows that Epstein was murdered. He was strangled to death. Of course he was. Pretty gruesome pictures there in the Daily Mail today. A number of newspapers are going with this story and these pictures as well. Good morning, by the way. Are you well? It's good to be with you. Sorry for shouting earlier on. I think I scared Jazz as well. The dog's not used to me shouting. I don't shout that much, believe it or not. Not as much as you might think. Maybe that's not a good thing. Epstein, yeah. Ricky Gervais made a couple of jokes at the Golden Globe Awards last night. The English comedian and actor. Most famous for The Office. And Extras. Two great shows. The Office, maybe one of the best comedy series ever written. Do you want to hear a bit of Gervais's comedy? Here he is. Here's Ricky.
If you do win an award tonight, don't use it as a platform to make a political speech, right? You're in no position to lecture the public about anything. You know nothing about the real world. Most of you spent less time in school than Greta Thunberg. So, if you win, right, come up, accept your little award, thank your agent and your God, and so, it's already 3 hours long. This show should just be me coming out going, well done, Netflix, you win everything. Good night. But no, we got to drag it out for 3 hours. You could binge watch the entire first season of Afterlife. That's a show about a man who wants to kill himself because his wife dies of cancer. And it's still more fun than this. OK? Spoiler alert, season two is on the way. Mm. So in the end, he obviously didn't kill himself. Just like Jeffrey Epstein. Shut up. I know he's your friend, but I don't care.
Yeah. Here's the Epstein joke in full, because it cut off there before the end. There was an important footnote to his Epstein joke. An important footnote. Here it is.
Spoiler alert, season two is on the way, so in the end, he obviously didn't kill himself. Just like Jeffrey Epstein. Shut up. I know he's your friend, but I don't care. You had to make your own way here in your own plane, didn't you? Right, but seriously, most films...
Yeah. You had to make your own way here, eh? That might have been a bit close to the bone, that. Yeah, Ricky Gervais there, yeah. What else have we got? There's murders at Extinction Rebellion, apparently. 2019 was the year of Extinction Rebellion. Twas the year of woke. Twas the year of identity politics. So will 2020, by the way. That will also be the year of climate change, anthropogenic climate change, the big hoax. It will also be the year of woke 2020, and it will also be the year of identity politics. There's I just don't want to put up the wrong one. I told you this was shit, didn't I? Here we are. Here's the story. It's in the Mail. There's consternation at Extinction Rebellion because they can't agree on certain policies. Well, some of them are eating meat despite the High Priest of Extinction Rebellion declaring meat to be catastrophic for the future of the planet. So this is, tension is brewing at Extinction Rebellion as activists continue to discuss whether or not flying is ever acceptable. One of the climate crisis group's founders, Roger Hallam, has branded air travel a no-no. Despite the fact that many of XOR's celebrity supporters often rack up air miles by using aircraft. Yes, air miles in the millions. Hallam said that flying was bad for any vaguely moral person in this society, and also compared using planes to eating meat. It's just a physical fact that it's beyond bad, he said. It's a physical fact that flying is beyond bad. Yeah. Yeah. What else does this bearded fuckwit have to say? Let's have a look. Speaking of bearded fuckwits, here he is. Free Flight UK encourages people to take a pledge to stop flying. To stop flying. You're killing the planet. And he said, Hallam said that the planned expansion of Heathrow Airport was a crime against humanity. Hmm. Yeah. People should be allowed one return flight every 2 years, is one of the recommendations. One return flight every 2 years. And you're going to see more of this in the coming year. And it's going to get a bit scary for you. I'll tell you why it's going to get a bit scary for you this year and next year. Because increasingly, as the time goes on, these people will not be questioned. They will be obeyed. That's when it gets scary. When these people go on the BBC or any of the other networks and peddle this insane shit, and nobody challenges it. And it'll get even scarier then, another year down the road, when government starts to introduce legislation based on the recommendation of psychopaths like Roger Hallam. Evangelical religious maniacs. See, these people have a form of religious mania. Told you about my friend in Spain whose wife, first wife, committed suicide many years ago. She was beyond help. She had religious mania. Covered the walls with pages out of the Bible. It was like a scene from The Omen. She used to have apocalyptic visions. Terribly unwell, the lady. Or maybe she wasn't. But she committed suicide, God love her, 25 or so years ago. When my friend was telling me about her, when I listened to Greta Thunberg and some of Greta's pals and fucking Fruit Loops like Roger Hallam there, there's a real similarity between what my friend's wife was suffering and what these deluded lunatics are going through. Problem is, it'll soon become outlawed to call these people crazy or to challenge them. It'll be a form of hate speech. So you'll have to keep your fucking mouth shut. And as that's going on, legislation. And I've got to give him a mention again because he's done unbelievable work on this. Mark Windows, windowsontheworld.net. His interviews with Piers Corbyn, but also his own monologues about this, about how this is rolled out at a local level. Very, very good. We must get Mark back on the programme right soon. So that's where we are. The insane becomes the norm. And expressing alarm or incredulity at the insane, that becomes a crime. And that's where we're going this year, next year. No doubt about it. Crazy, huh? Mm. You'll see more of this mad shit too. This mad shit. You'll see more of this mad shit. Let's bring it up. It's in the Mirror. If I can find a feckin' thing. They is named Word of the Decade for popularity among gender neutral people. The American Dialect Society chooses any word or phrase that has been particularly prominent or notable over the previous year. The choice was made at an annual poll by these people, where voters also selected my pronouns, such as she, her, he, him, or they, them, as their word of the year. I told you we're descending into lunacy, where the utterly ridiculous is taken as sensible and rational, and any opposition to it becomes hate speech. They. I refuse to refer to somebody as they, because I'm a reasonably sane and rational man with a reasonably proficient command of the English language. I'm not going to refer to a single person as they, ever, nor should you. And when a single man or woman asks you to refer to him or to her as to they, just tell him or her to fuck off. No, I won't. But I suppose it's easy for me to say that, sitting in my lofty position in Richie Allen Radio Show Towers, where I work for myself. I don't have to answer to anybody. But many of you work in companies, of course, and it could mean your fucking job, right? Or worse, could mean getting a visit from the old Bill. Don't laugh at that. Don't think that's an outrageous leap. It has already fucking happened in this country, where feminists have refused to accept that a big hairy fucker with an Adam's apple the size of a golf ball could ever be a woman. And they've had a knock on the door from Plod. Can we come in now? We've had a report of hate speech. But he's got a beard and he's got an Adam's apple the size of a fucking cricket ball. Doesn't matter. Hate speech. I think I need another holiday. There you are. Hate speech. Do you know what hate speech is really all about? Do you know what it's about? The concept, the notion, the idea. Well, what I'm going to say is going to sound very obvious. It's about the end of debate. Oh, but that's obvious, Richard. We fucking knew that ourselves. Yes, I know. But it's the methodology. It's about the ending of discourse, parlance, discussion, debate, whether heated or moderate, about things. But here's the kicker. It's about giving those who push this insane agenda, giving them a pass from ever having to go public and face a rigorous examination on television or radio about their patently psychopathic fucking ideas. That's what it does. The concept of hate speech gives them a get out of jail card. I don't have to appear on a programme with an academic man or woman who is concerned that this is Orwellian, that this is dystopian, that this is the death of free speech or free thought. I don't have to do that. I just have to declare them to be hate. He's hateful. She's hateful. Hate speech. And I can walk away unscathed. I don't have to explain myself. I can continue to demand more and more and more censorship, more deplatforming, more doxing, more firing of people, the removal of contracts from people to do a job or to do business, because they have offended my delicate sensibilities or sensitivities. I just get a pass. I don't have to explain why I am demanding that I be protected from hearing something that I don't like. 10 past 10, couple more minutes, I think, and we'll do one then. Speaking of climate change and all that fucking craziness, and speaking of the Golden Globes, they had a very woke menu last night at the Globes. According to RT, that is. Golden Globes serving plant-based meals to send a signal about climate change. A lot of people were happy about that, including Leonardo DiCaprio. Leonardo was delighted. Mr. fucking Al Gore himself, Leonardo DiCaprio, huh? He's never off a fucking plane, right? But they had a woke menu, so all the Hollywood liberals went home happy that they did their bit. It's in the, it's in RT today, RT.com. Is there one thing to leave you with? Is there? There's a story in the Telegraph about binge-watching television, which is all the rage, apparently. I don't binge-watch. What I'm likely to do is, because these days, increasingly, television programmes are, I'm going to use a very down with the kids word now, because they are dropped. They're dropped altogether. 13 episodes of a brand new series dropped just like that. I might watch one, and if I like it, I might say to herself, do you want to watch another one? And then we'll leave it then, a couple of days, we might watch another one. And if it's really good, at the end of it, we often say, Jesus, we maybe should have stretched it out a bit. Watched it from week to week, maybe. Now we've got to wait a year for season two, or season three, as the case may be. Just began watching Castle Rock, which came on TV back in 2018. Set in the Stephen King multiverse. I told you, I'm properly down with the fucking kids today. In the Stephen King multiverse. Going to pretend I know what that means. I do know what it means. I've read every Stephen King book ever written, every one of them. Castle Rock is a town that features prominently, it's a fictional town, in some of Stephen King's most famous novels. Somebody thought it would be a good idea to make a TV series about Castle Rock, where characters from various Stephen King books pop in and out with different storylines. And it's good. It's good. It's good. So we've watched a couple of episodes of that. But anyway, the Telegraph, I do digress. The Telegraph. Lovely. Has ran a story about this today and about how it's harming people. And about how people are being treated for addiction. Over box sets. In the first case of its kind. People are being treated for binge watching addiction to television box sets in the first reported case of their kind in Britain. This is an exclusive for the Telegraph. Patients are going to Harley Street after admitting that Netflix and other on-demand television services have taken over their lives. One 35-year-old man says he put his job at risk through his compulsion for watching crime shows for hours and hours and hours and hours. Each sufferer has been offered counselling and cognitive behavioural therapy to conquer their obsession with box sets. The British Association for Counselling and Psychotherapy said it was aware of the problem and urged other sufferers to seek treatment. So, dear viewer, do you find yourself not doing anything else on any given day because of your compulsion to keep watching season 4 of The Sopranos or season 3 of Breaking Bad? Well, you might have a problem. And people are going to clinics about it. Wow. What else? What else? Let's have a look. Let's have a look. It's a detailed article. 150 million people have a Netflix subscription, including yours truly, it must be said. Adam Cox, a registered psychotherapist, treated 3 patients in Harley Street last year after they developed an unhealthy addiction to providers such as Netflix, Now TV and Amazon Prime. They're the first documented in this country. The patients fell into a dangerous loop where they felt unable to switch off, according to Adam Cox. They just had to watch the next one, and the next one, and the next one, and they couldn't stop. And this is interesting. A TV cliffhanger is a reward mechanism, like drink or drugs. It releases dopamine, and that can be an issue for people who have other stresses or anxieties in their life. Causes lack of sleep, which sends productivity through the floor and stops people forming proper relationships. Cox said the US series Breaking Bad sent one guy, a London guy, spiraling into Netflix addiction. After devouring three seasons, he moved on to the true crime documentary Making a Murderer. Soon he was watching crime shows for 7 hours a day. He would watch until he was too exhausted to keep his eyes open, then he would fall asleep. Wow. It's not recognised by the NHS, addiction to television, not yet, but it will be, and eventually there will be a treatment for it. And the treatment will be prescription drugs, because that's where it all goes, right? Crazy times. We're living in crazy times, I tells you. That was in the Telegraph today. Get rid of these, and as it is 16 minutes past 10 now, as I speak to you, I'm going to go and do some work. Paul Craig Roberts, Jason Burmes on the Richie Allen radio show later today. Thanks for watching this garbage. I appreciate that you did. I'm sorry I've not gotten to any of your comments. I will do as we go on with this nonsense as the days go on. So thanks to those of you who've been putting comments there and chatting away amongst yourselves. I really appreciate that. Have a good Monday. Some very bad weather, inclement weather, is on the way here in the UK over the next few days. Very bad weather, apparently. Gale force winds, 75 miles an hour, very wet weather. We're going to get it here in the northwest, apparently. We'll see. I'll be back with you at 5 then. UK time, of course, the usual channels for the Richie Allen radio show. Until then, it is bye from me. Have a good Monday.